upcoming Shabbos, Vayikra, which is the beginning of a new sefer of Chumash, Toras Kohanim, as it is described, as it is referred to in Chazal, this year is the Shabbos before Purim. In a normal year, Vayikra falls out at the beginning of the month of Nisan. No, it can't. It's Sav is usually Shabbos HaGadol. Vayikra is usually the first Shabbos in Nisan, and Sav is usually Shabbos HaGadol. In a leap year, being that Vayakel Pekudei is separated, and there's an Adar Sheni, so Vayikra is the Shabbos before Purim, Sav is the Shabbos afterwards, or in Yerushalayim, it's actually in the middle of what we refer to as the Purim Meshulash. Being this the case, Parshas Vayikra, the Shabbos before Purim, as we know what the Zohar says, that any event that occurs during a week is blessed by the Shabbos that is prior to that event. So this is the Shabbos that benches the following days, the days that follow, including Purim, even though it's Friday, it's the end of the week. But the Parsha, the Shabbos that gives the Koyach for the week is Vayikra. Purim is actually sandwiched in between Vayikra and Sav, and these two parashiyos are the parashiyos that talk to us about karbonos, about the sacrifices. What does that have to do with Purim? Purim occurred in a time when there were no sacrifices. Purim was a Yom Tov that occurs in Persia when there is no Beis HaMikdash. In Golus, we don't say Hallel on Purim. One of the reasons is because Akati Avdi da Achashverosh Hanan, we're still slaves to Achashverosh. And yet, in a leap year, Purim falls out during the time that we are learning about Karbonos. The parasha is called Vayikra. Vayikra is written here with a small aleph, known as the Aleph Ze'era. In the Torah, we have small letters and we have large letters. At the beginning of Divrei Hayomim, there's a large aleph. The first word in Divrei Hayomim, Book of Chronicles, is Adam. There, there's a large aleph. Here, there's a small aleph. I've got many, many interpretations to why there's a small aleph here, which would take us a very long time to go through. So we'll try to analyze one interpretation why, or at least one or two interpretations, why there's a small aleph here. And why is it here? This is not the first Vayikra in Chumash. It says Vayikra already before in Parshas Mishpatim. Hashem calls to Moshe Rabbeinu at Matan Torah, or after Matan Torah, and the other pasuk says, Vayikra el Moshe b'yom ha-shevi'i mitoche onan. There it says Vayikra, but not with a small aleph, it's with a regular size aleph. So if it's necessary to write Vayikra with a small aleph, why over here? Rashi begins the parasha that every time Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, whether it was a Vayedaver or a Vayomer or a Tzav, there was always a preceding of a calling. There was a Vayikra first. L'chol dibrais v'l'chol amirais v'l'chol tzivuyim kodma kriya l'ashoin chiba. Kriya, says Rashi, a calling is an expression of love. When one talks to another person and calls him by name, that means there's a friendship. There's a relationship. They don't just say, hey, you, and start talking. Vayikra first, and then Vayedaber. Hashem calls Moshe Rabbeinu by name, and then he speaks to him. Rashi does not say this in Parashas Mishpatim. Why does Rashi say this over here? This is not the first Vayikra. Rashi goes on to say that the Vayedaber Hashem Elov Me'ohel Moed Lamer, that the Lamer here was that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to tell Klal Yisrael that the only reason he speaks to him is because of them. I want you to give them comforting words. Divrei Kivushin, tell them that the only reason that I'm speaking to you is because of them. Very nice. But again, why here? This is not the first Vayikra. Hashem has already spoken to Moshe Rabbeinu before. Why here does the Torah reveal to us that Hashem only speaks to Moshe or to the leader of the generation, to Tzadikim in general, because they represent Klal Yisrael? This is very encouraging for Klal Yisrael, but why is it told to us over here? Among the karbonos that we read about in this parasha, which the parasha here basically speaks about all of them, the carbon that is completely burnt, known as the oila, the shlamim, the peace offering, the chatas, the sin offering, and different kinds. There are animal offerings, there are bird offerings, and there are flower offerings known as the mincha. There are a number of flower offerings that are discussed here in the parasha, beginning with a simple one known as mincha soiles. Flower offerings are called mincha. interesting that the flower offering is called mincha. Mincha actually means a tribute, a gift. We find in Parshas Bereishis, Hevel and Kayin brought a mincha to Hashem, and it was not a carbon mincha, it was a gift. And from all the karbanos, the flower offering, which is the cheapest, the ones that the paupers brought, were called the menachos. The animal offerings, the bird offerings, were not called menachos. And among the flower offerings we have here in the parsha, the minchas bikurim, which was not a voluntary carbon, it's not a donation like the others, but this was an obligation once a year, the imtakriv minchas bikurim lahashem. Rashi says, what are we talking here about? Minchas ha'oimer. This is the oimer carbon, the one that was brought on the second day of Pesach, on the 16th of Nisan. And the pasuk says, aviv, it's brought during the time of spring, koloi ba'esh, it is fried. Geres karmel, it's ground. Geres, a word that's only found here in the entire Tanakh, this word, geres, migirsa, which we have two psukim later, this is the only place in the entire Tanakh that this word appears. Geres and migirsa, these two words, which is the root geres, which means ground. Grusa ba'edolach, Rashi says, lashon shvira utchina, breaking, crushing, taking the barley stalks when they're still soft, frying them so that they become hard, and then grinding them. And this was used for the Omer, which is basically what we consider the first of the carbonos. It's the carbon that permits new grain to be eaten, what we call chadash. It's matir chadash for everyone. Today there are some who are makbir on chadash. In Eretz Yisrael they are makbir on chadash. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash they were makbir on chadash, that we're not allowed to eat any new grain until the Omer was brought. Now Rashi says the pasuk starts off with the word ve'im, which means if you bring this flower offering known as the minchas bikurim, the minchas ha'omer. And Rashi asks, why does the Torah start it off with the word im, which means if? This is not a voluntary carbon, this is an obligation, it's mandatory. So Rashi says, this im here does not mean if, it means when. Rashi already told us in previous parashas that there are certain ims that mean when, like im kesef tal ve'es ami, im mizbeach avonim ta'aseli. And here, he quotes a pasuk as proof that im here does not mean if, it means when, and the pasuk that he quotes is v'im yihyeh ha'yovel. And the way Rashi is interpreting it, and when the Yovel will be. And it's interesting because in Parshas Maaseh, where it says that pasuk, there Rashi says that im means if. And the fact that it says if means that it's possible that the Yovel will cease, there will not be a Yovel one day, there will be a Churban. Rashi brings there the memra of Rabbi Yehuda, Mikan ha'yomer Rabbi Yehuda, she'osad ha'yovel she'yivsoik, that there will be a time when there won't be a Yovel. How does that fit here with Rashi telling us that im is mandatory? Im does not mean if, it means when, like v'im yihyeh ha'yovel. Now, I'm a farshim who say that that's exactly what Rashi means. It's mandatory when there's a Beis HaMikdash, but when there won't be a Beis HaMikdash, it won't exist. Just like the yovel exists only, the laws of yovel only, b'zman she'Beis HaMikdash ha'yakayim, b'zman she'kol yoshveh ha'oleho, but not afterwards. Perhaps we can explain this a little differently in relation to Purim. The parsha ends v'chiper olav ha'koyhein l'fnei Hashem v'nislach loy. The koyhein forgives for the sinner, the one who brings the karbonos for particular averis mentioned at the end of the parsha, the ashamos, the guilt offerings, l'fnei Hashem v'nislach loy, and he is forgiven. This is a parsha of kapara, slicha, mechila. This is the parsha that is given to us after hakamas ha'mishkan. In fact, the Safra says that this particular parasha was said Rosh Chodesh Nisan right after the Mishkan was put up. The Mishkan is constructed Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so the first commandment is about the Karbonos. Naturally, now we have a Mishkan, now we have a Mizbeach, so now we can talk about the Karbonos. Vayikra El Moshe. This is after Chet HaEgel. After Chet HaEgel, the stature of Bnei Yisrael were diminished. That's the small Aleph. We're talking about lower level Jews that as a result of sin have to come on to atonement. Before Chet HaEgel there would have been no need for karbonos, at least not for the sin offerings. Even the Oila, which is mentioned here at the beginning of the parasha, Rashi says also brought about kapara for thoughts, for improper thoughts, for alav hanitak la'aseh, v'nirtzalai l'chapir olav. Karbona is for kapara purposes. L'chapir olav. Kapara is only necessary if there's chet. If there's no chet, there's no kapara. The only reason we needed a Yom HaKippurim, there's a Yom Kippur, because of chet ha'egel. Not for chet ha'egel, which is rooted in chet ha'etz hadas, there will be no need for kapara, no need for karbonos, and no need for the Mishkan, as the Svarim tell us, that every Jew would have been a Mishkan. The Shekhinah would rest in each and every one of us without the need for any particular Beis HaKnesses or Beis HaMedrash for Hashuas HaShekhinah, but the Shekhinah would be in each and every one of us for Shachanti B'Soicha. So Vayikra comes after Chet HaEgel. That's the small Aleph. And we read this Purim time in a leap year. In a leap year, we're given an extra month that even those who need more time, even Yom Kippur wasn't enough for them, Chanukah wasn't enough for them, Purim isn't even enough because we need an extra Adar. The lowest that it's possible to sink, the small Aleph, you could hardly see it, comes along Rashi and tells us that Vayikra is a Lashon Chiba, it's an expression of love. That Hashem loves everyone, Hashem loves every generation, Hashem loves every Jew, even if he sinned. Even after Chet, it's not necessary for this to be told to us in Parshas Mishpatim. In Parshas Mishpatim, the Vayikra there is before Chet HaEgel. Therefore, the Aleph there is normal size. There's no need for Hashem to tell Moshe Rabbein, I only speak to you because of them. It's understood. But now, after Chet HaEgel, we might think perhaps that love has been diminished somewhat. The Torah says, no, it's not. Vayikra is the same, even with the small Aleph, even if there are lower level neshamas, there are sinners, there's a hester panim, there's concealment, as in the time of Purim, v'anoichi hester aster panai, or like the time we're in now, ikvus of the Mashiach, and especially recent events, and I'd like to mention, I wanted to mention this before, that tonight's shir is dedicated, le'ilin nishmas, the kedoshim, who were killed this past Thursday, Al Kiddush Hashem, Hashem Yinkam Damam. And for Refuah Shalema, for those in need of a Refuah in that attack. The Hester Panim is great, but Vayikra El Moshe, Hashem calls to each and every Jew, and every Jew has in him a spark of Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, the need to tell us that Vayikra is an expression of love, and that Hashem only speaks to us, speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu, because of Klal Yisrael, is specifically said here. This Vayikra, not the Vayikra in Mishpatim, there it's not necessary to say it, there Klal Yisrael hadn't yet fallen. This is after the Nefila. Especially the fact that we have a Chodesh Adar Sheni, we have a second Adar, Adar is from the letters Ered, Yerida, Acha, Yerida, Haster, Aster. Even in an Adar Sheni, Hashem shows us this tremendous love by giving us Purim. Purim is in the Adar Hasheni. The Chiper Olav HaKoyhein Lefnei Hashem V'nislach Lo is B'gematria Chodesh Adar Hasheni. Chodesh Adar Hasheni is the Chodesh of Kapara, Slichu, Mechila. Kapara, Slichu, Mechila is B'gematria Chodesh Adar. We need another kapara, another mechila, another slicha. We were given a new kapara, a new atonement, a new derech, a new entrance. Mordechai is called Psachia. The Mishnah says in Shkola, Mordechai's name is Psachia. Psachia comes from the word Pesach. Entrance, a new entrance. Even for those who all year round perhaps cannot enter, there's an entrance for them on Purim. In the Megillah we have Pesach la Pischa la Hai Parshasa. In the Gemara in Megillah, the Gemara brings all these Pischais, all these introductions to Megillah Esther with another Pasuk, and the Gemara uses the expression Pasach, Pesach, Lahai Parshas, Psachya. Psachya is Mordechai. Mordechai opened up a new derech in Avodas Hashem, even for the outcasts, that even Yom Kippur is not good enough. Purim is higher than Yom Kippur. Geres Carmel. Geres, from the word Goresh, Asla Geresh, we read the pasuk last week, V'yesha'elef u'shva me'oiz v'chamisha v'shivim, the 1,755 coins that Moshe Rabbeinu forgot what those coins were used for, those are the neshamas, the forgotten neshamas. On the words V'yesha'elef, there's an Asla Geresh. Asla Geresh is the ta'am, the trup. Hazla Geirish means one who is an outcast. He was divorced, sort of, from the Jewish people. The Esha Elef, those are the neshamas that Moshe forgot, but they were also incorporated. The money there was used for the hooks for the Mishkan. And by the Karban Omer, which we'll get to momentarily, which has to do with Purim, the Pasuk uses the word Geres. Geres is Begematria Psachia. Psachia, that's Mordechai, opened up a new door, a new entrance for the Megurashim, for those who otherwise perhaps we would think are outcasts, the ones that Amalek starts up with. This coming Shabbos is also Pasha Zohar, which is the only Kriya, which is Min HaTorah, as Tosfos says in Brachos. Rit for other Rishonim, brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Pashas Parad is a machloikus. Pashas Zohar is basically unanimous that it's Min HaTorah. Some say Pashas Parad also is, but Pashas Zohar certainly is. And Zohar, which is this Shabbos, is what we remember what Amalek did to us. What did Amalek do to us, and what's the connection between Vayikra and Pashas Zohar this year that we read Vayikra and Zohar in the same Shabbos? Amalek, as we mentioned many times, Asher Karcha, chance encounter, everything is a coincidence. There is no divine providence. This special love that we talk about that Hashem has for Klal Yisrael, Amalek denies. Amalek tries to disconnect us from our roots, from our source. He says that love doesn't exist. That's what the Christians said. The Christians said that we're no longer L'chas Hashem, the chosen people. Hashem chose a new nation. Vayikra negates that. Vayikra, even with the small aleph. Vayikra, El Moshe, no matter what, even if Klal Yisrael have fallen to the level of the small aleph, the Lashon Chiba, the expression of love, is still there. It never changes. Rashi compares this word Vayikra to the Vayikar El Bilam. There it's written without an aleph. As many Mefarshim say, the small aleph here is Moshe's humility. He couldn't get himself to make it with a regular aleph, as if he's the one that Hashem calls to all the time. So he made the aleph smaller, that there's not much of a difference between him and Bilam. By Bilam it says Vayikar. Vayikar means, and it happened. It was a chance encounter. But here it's Vayikra. And even if the aleph is small, even if we don't see it, it's concealed, there's a Hester upon him. A Jew has to reveal godliness. A Jew has to know that everything is Yad Hashem, as we see in the Megillah, that every detail from the beginning of the story till the end, although when it happened, we didn't see the Yad Hashem necessarily, as we go through all the 10 prokim of the Megillah. But then at the end, we look back at every single part of the story, makes sense, and we see the Yad Hashem clearly, although as it's happening, we don't, because it was a time of concealment. There was Hester upon him. It was a small aleph. Yet at the end, we realize that it's Vayikra. It's a calling. Everything is a calling from Hashem. Whatever happens in the world, any event, anything that's going on, any item in the news, whether it's the top of the news, whether it's the bottom of the news, if we hear about it, we have to know that it's all a calling from Hashem. Amalek doesn't believe. Amalek believes that it's just a chance encounter, it's just a coincidence. It's a mikra, asher karcha, without the aleph, by yikar, like by Bilam. Bilam doesn't believe in this hashgacha, so Hashem appears to him as if it's just a chance encounter. So it says Vayikar. Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest ma'amin, so he experiences the calling, Vayikra, and every Jew has to realize that Hashem is constantly calling to us. Mordechai was learning with his Talmidim the laws of Karbonos, as the Gemara says in the Megillah Daf Tes Zayin. Mordechai was learning with his Talmidim the laws of Kmitza, the scooping of the flour of the flour offerings. Why was he learning about the flour offerings? Because the day that Haman comes to Mordechai to bring him the horse of the king and the king's garment to put it on was Tezayin Nisan, which was the third of the 3 days of the fasting of Esther. There was the 14th, the 15th, and the 16th. And on the 16th day, the day that Haman is eventually killed, as we mentioned last week, is the day that Sodom was turned over, Vayahafoiches Ha'orim Ha'el, Vayahafoichu already happened before in Chumash, Vayahafoiches Ha'orim Ha'el was on Tezayin Nisan. That was also the day of the Nahapoichu Asher Yishlatu HaYehudim Heim B'Sayin Ehem. That's when the actual Nes of Purim begins, with the death of Haman, with the killing of Haman. which was the day and the time of the Beis HaMikdash that they sacrificed the Karban Omer, the first day of Sfira, when we bring this flour offering from barley, barley which is animal food, as the Sfarim explained to us, that the job of a Jew is to take his animal behavior, his animal tendencies, and to elevate the animal tendencies and channel them in the service of Hashem. That's the idea of Tnufas HaOmer, Anofas HaOmer, V'Heinif Es HaOmer, this expression, V'Heinif Hanofa, which means lifting, uplifting. The Omer, which was this measurement of barley, which barley is animal food. Because we start off like animals. We start off, a person is born, Adam Ayur Peri Yivolin, as Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei, that a person is born like a wild animal. And the job of a Jew throughout his life is to transform himself into a human, to be a mensch, to be a person, not an animal. That the first day that we start, which is the day after the first day of Pesach, the day that Hashem brought us to the highest levels, then He takes away those levels and says, for the next 50 days, you have to get there on your own, when we count the 49 days of Sfira, and then on Shavuos, the 50th day, which is Kabbalas HaTorah, that first day, which is the day of the bringing of the Omer, that's this carbon that is mentioned here in the parasha, this flower offering known as the Minchas HaOmer, which permits Chodosh to be eaten. It is a day that is associated with Chodosh, with renewal, with rejuvenation, which is what Amalek battles. Amalek, Asher Karcha, he cools us off. He says, what are you so excited about? What's this business of renewal? What's this idea? What do you really believe that it's true? It's not true. You think Hashem really knows what's going on? You think Hashem really cares about you? You think He really loves you? He intensifies the Hester upon him, and especially as we see in our time. And it was on that day that Haman meets Mordechai, and he sees that Mordechai is learning the laws of the Omer. And he says to Mordechai, what are you doing? What are you learning about sacrifices which don't exist anymore? Do you think that with this little scoop of flour that you're learning about, as the Gemara calls this koimetz, you're going to be able to negate the 10,000 coins that I have given Ahasuerus to wipe your people out? A koimetz minchan, it's not even really a koimetz because you're only learning it. You don't even have it. Doesn't exist. You don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Why don't you just become real, he said, and forget about it. There's not going to be a Beis HaMikdash. But Mordechai is learning with his Talmidim about Karbonos. He's learning with his Talmidim not only about animal offerings or bird offerings. He's learning about the cheapest of the offerings, the flour offerings that the poor people brought. Those are the offerings that Hashem has a special love for. It says, V'nefesh ki sakriv karban mincha laHashem. Nefesh ki sakriv karban. Rashi says, why does it say nefesh by the karban mincha? If a person donates an animal, that's a lot more valuable than someone who brings a flower offering. What does a flower offering cost already? A few dollars? An animal could be hundreds and hundreds of dollars, maybe more, thousands. The nefesh ki sakriv karban mincha, says Rashi, because who brings the mincha? An ani, a poor man. So Hashem says, ma'ale ani alof ki ilu hikriv nafshoi. To me, it is considered as if he sacrificed his whole life. He gave up his entire life. It's the flower offerings of the poor, which the poor doesn't mean necessarily monetarily. Obviously, halachically, that's what it means here. But the poor are those who are aniyim bedas, those who are the lower level Jews, who don't have, we don't have today the das of the previous generations. We're all aniyim today. We're the dalim, the evyonim, which Purim is the yom tov of matanis le'evyonim. These are the ones that Amalek starts up with. Amalek can only start up with the lower level Jews. Those are the outcasts. But with the power of Karbonos, and today Karbonos is davening tefillah and learning about the Karbonos, because learning about the Karbonos is like as if you actually bring one. As we learn out from the pasuk in next week's parasha, Zayis HaTorah Oyla, Misha Oisek B'Toyras Oyla Ke'ilu Hikriv Oyla. If you learn about it, it's as if you actually are sacrificing. That combats Amalek. The first pasuk we're going to be reading, Purim morning, Vayavai Amalek Vayilochem im Yisrael Berefidim, is the gematria of these words here, V'nefesh kisakriv karban mincha. That the lower level Jews, the ones that Amalek comes to attack, it's they who are going to fight Amalek. It's they who combat Amalek. The party of Ahasuerus, which is where it all started, which ended on Shabbos, when Vashti is killed. By that party, Ahasuerus, with Haman's advice, is partying because, as we mentioned, he's instilling in us the feeling that there will never be a Beis HaMikdash. There's no hope. It's over. That love that Hashem had for you is gone. So you may as well just have a good time and enjoy life. And those who went to this party sin greatly, not just because of what they ate or what they drank or because they're joining together with Goyim, that's part of it. But what the main sin was that they fell into this trap of Yiyush where they gave up hope. They're not anticipating the Yeshua anymore. They're not looking forward to the Geula. One of the questions that the Gemara says in Shabbos that they ask us when we go to Gan Eden after 120 years is Tzipisa LeYeshua? Did you look forward? Did you anticipate the salvation? And that's what Mordechai was doing with his Talmidim. Mordechai was learning with them Karbonos. Mordechai was learning with them about that which we're going to do in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, even though they did not have a Beis HaMikdash at that time. Mordechai was instilling Emuna into Klal Yisrael. Mordechai is the Raya Ne'eman. Mordechai is the Neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu, known as the Raya Mehemna, the one who shepherds his flock with faith. Vayihi Oimein Es Hadasa. Oimein is from the word Emuna. He instills Emuna into Hadasa, which is Klal Yisrael, is referred to as Hadasa, Esther. He Esther Bas Doidoi. The Shar Hanun of Tuma, which is what Amalek and Haman wanted to bring us to fall into the Shar Hanun of Tuma. That's why Haman took an Eitz Gavoya Hamishim Amma, a piece of wood that was high, 50 Amma, to lower us into the 50th level of Tuma. That's Kfira, that's atheism and lack of belief and lack of faith, which is what the whole world has sunken into in today's day and age. The Shar Hanun of Tuma, which is where Haman and Achashverosh want us to be, which is why this party was considered such a severe chet to the point that the entire Klal Yisrael deserves to be annihilated because they attended that party. And according to the Medrash, it was about 18,000 Jews that were there. It wasn't the entire Klal Yisrael, but enough to bring about this gezeirah. So Mordechai is trying to bring about a tikkun, a rectification for that, by learning with his Talmidim the laws of Karbonos, meaning that there is hope. We're going to have a Beis HaMikdash again.
There was a mimer from the Eish Kodesh, the Warsaw Ghetto, on precisely this point, the difference between Chanukah and Purim. And then Purim, there was a chet that was a focus of the animus against the Jews. The Jews claimed a chet, whereas the animus in Chanukah was against the Torah as well as the Jews. But the chet, I assume, referred to the Yesuda.
Right. That fits. And therefore, on the third day of the fast, which Esther orders, Leich Knoises Kol HaYehudim HaNimsim B'Shushan V'Tzumu Alay V'Yal Toichlu V'Yal Tishtu Shloishes Yomim, which the third day of the fast, which is the 16th of Nisan, turns out to be the day that the Omer was sacrificed in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's the day that Haman is killed. That's the day that the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was misakein, that the entire day it's usher to eat chadash when there's no Beis HaMikdash, because Shema Yibane Beis HaMikdash. Because if the Beis HaMikdash will be built, and people will say, well, last year, the whole day, you know, we waited till the end of the day, we didn't have to worry about this problem. So the Gemara says, Shema Yibane Beis HaMikdash, and therefore Yom HaNaf Kulay usher. The entire day it's usher to eat chadash, because just in case the Beis HaMikdash will be built, and you have to wait until their makrav v'chodesh, as the Gemara talks about it. The Chassam Sofer says from there we learn out that the 16th of Nisan is a day that is mesugol for Binyan Beis HaMikdash. The fact that the Gemara is worried, the fact that the Gemara is hoping that that's the day of Shema Yevana Beis HaMikdash, that's a day that the Binyan Beis HaMikdash is very likely to happen. The Chassam Sofer says it will happen on the 16th of Nisan, second day of Pesach. That's the day that Haman was killed. That's the day they were makrav of the Karban Omer. That's the third day of the fast of Esther. The day that she accomplishes her mission. She enters into Achashverosh's private chambers without permission. Look at the contrast between her and Vashti. Vashti is asked to come to Achashverosh. She refuses. She's killed. And she was also killed on a Shabbos, which was Pesach, as the Midrashim tell us it was the first day of Pesach, Tesvav Nisan. When did Esther go into Achashverosh? Tesvav Nisan. The Pasuk says, Vayihi b'yoyim hashlishi v'tilbash Esther malchus. It wasn't the third day of the fast, as the Gemara says, it was the third day, after the letters were sent out. So the letters were sent out on Yud Gimel. There was Yud Dalet, which was Erev Pesach, and then there was Tesvav, which was the first day of Pesach. That's when Esther actually entered. Esther entered the same day that Vashti was called and did not come. So Vashti is killed, and her replacement, Esther, enters into Ahasuerus's palace on the very same day that Vashti is killed, the first day of Pesach. Without being called, she risks her life, and as a this is a metaphor to the nations of the world and Klal Yisrael. The nations of the world were also called. Hashem gave them a chance too. They were given an opportunity to receive the Torah, and they said no. Just like Ahasuerus asks Vashti to come before him, she refuses. Ahasuerus is Hashem. Vashti is a metaphor to all the nations. Esther is Klal Yisrael. We don't wait for Hashem to call us. Nasa v'nishma, lifnim mishuras hadin. A Jew is willing to do more than he's asked, especially Purim. Purim is the yomtiv of Kabbalah's HaTorah Beratzon. We accepted the Torah willingly. This time we were not coerced like by Matan Torah, where it says that Hashem had to pick up the mountain and tell us that if we don't accept the Torah, this is where your burial ground will be. Shem teik v'raschem. Purim, on the other hand, was Kabbalah's HaTorah Beratzon, me'ahavas hanes, hodor kibluha, b'me'ach HaShveirish, as the Gemara says, in Shabbos. And in fact, we see this concept here at the beginning of the parasha, where the Torah talks to us about the korbanos, that if a person donated an animal and he decided afterwards he doesn't want to bring it, we force him until he says, I am willing to do it. Yakriv oisai lirtzoinoi lifnei Hashem. Now that's a contradiction, really, because if you're forcing him, he doesn't want to do it. The famous Rambam in Hilchos Geirush and the Yitzrayon say that really every Jew wants to do the will of Hashem. It's just that the Yetzer Hara, the Se'ar Shebe'isa, prevents, doesn't let us do it. But really, deep down, every Jew wants to do it. Kaifenoisei Atshayayim Reitzani. Kaifenoisei was Matan Torah on Shavuos. We were forced, sort of. Reitzani was Purim. Purim, every Jew said Reitzani. Purim was the time that we went willingly. Esther went Beratzain into Achashverosh. Esther, as Klal Yisrael, enters into the Chatzar Beis HaMelech HaPenimis and was not called. It's interesting that the pasuk that talks about Purim in the Torah, which is in Parshas Vayechi, is the bracha to Binyamin, Binyamin Ze'ev Yitrof Baboike Yoichal Ad Velo Erev Yichal Ekshalo. Targum translates that it's talking about the Mizveach and it's talking about the Karbonos, that in the morning it is sacrificed and in the evening it was eaten. Rashi brings the other interpretation, that v'lo erev yechal ekshalol is talking about Purim. Purim and Karbonos are related. The Gemara says that at the party of Achashverosh v'hakorov elov karshon ha'sheser admosa sarshish meres marsin ha'mamucham, those were the seven advisors that Achashverosh asked what to do with Vashti. So the Gemara says it's not really what it says. Literally, it means that the Malachim in Shemayim at that time were being Malamed Shchus on Klal Yisrael, and they said to Hashem, did Achashverosh or his men ever bring any karbonos before you? The Hakorei Velev, Klum Hekrivu the Fanecha, Karshanos, Karim B'nei Shana, Shesos Shtei Toirim, Meris is the blood, and Marsana, the flower offerings. As Rashi explains, Marsana from Lashon Memare says to mix the flour with the oil. The Malachim in Shamayim, at the party where the Jews sinned, were being Malamed Schus on Klal Yisrael, but the Klal Yisrael still has the Schus of Karbonos. They say the Parsha of Karbonos every day. They learn about the Karbonos. They still believe deep down that there's going to be a Beis HaMikdash. They deserve to be helped. They deserve a Yeshua. And in the Schus of the Karbonos, Vashti is killed, and from there, Esther becomes the queen, and we have the Nes of Purim. So the connection between Karbonos and Purim is very clear. It's not just bringing Karbonos. In the time of Purim, there were no Karbonos. It's learning about the Karbonos. We're learning about it this week. We're not actually bringing Karbonos. We're learning about it. We say the Parsha of Karbonos with the hope, with the Tzipisa Yeshua, that we will have a Beis HaMikdash, and we will actually be able to bring the Karbonos. Mordechai instilled that Amuna on Tezayin Nisan, on the day that they were makriv the Omer in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And that day is the Bechina of Yovel. Purim is like Yovel. Yovel is the 50th year, the year that all the slaves returned, the year that everyone goes back to their roots. like Bias HaMashiach is referred to as the Yovel HaGadol, the Kabbash Shofar Gadol L'Cheruseinu, the Hayyab Ayyim HaHu Yitok Kabbash Shofar Gadol. On Purim, we were Zoicha to this revelation of La'asid Lavoi, as it says that Purim will still be felt even after Mashiach comes. The Svarim say that Purim is even higher than Yemais HaMashiach. Purim is Olam Haba, it's even further on, it's even greater than Yemais HaMashiach and Chiyas HaMeisim. Purim, as the Imre Emes says, is rooted in the Luchais HaRishonais, while Yom HaKippurim is only the Luchais Shniais. Yom Kippur is when Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the second Luchais, but Purim, and he bases this on a Gemara, it's a Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yotes Amud Beis, the Gemara says there on the Pasuk in Vayeschanan, in Ekev, Va'aleihem, and it's talking about the first Luchais, Va'aleihem Kechol HaDvorim, that on the first Luchais were written everything. So there the Gemara says, even Mikra Megillah. So says the Imre Emes, that Mikra Megillah is rooted in the Luchais Rishonis. That means on Purim we were Zeichet to a Nes, to a Yomtif, rooted in the Luchais Rishonis before the Shvira, before the Luchais were broken. We reached a level like before the Chet HaEgel. All this due to the 3 days of fasting of Esther and Klal Yisrael on Yudalit, Tezvav, and Tezayin Nisan. Now it's interesting that the Rabbi Yonason Eibshitz in his famous work Yaris Devash says an amazing thing. He says that Purim that year was Erev Pesach Shecholiyas B'Shabbos, like this year, which means that the fast began on a Shabbos. They fasted Shabbos, Sunday, and Monday. And if that's the case, then it was a Purim Mishulash too that year, even though it wasn't Purim yet, but it means that Yudalid was Friday, Tezvav was Shabbos, and Tezayin was Sunday, because the only way it's possible for Pesach to fall out on Sunday is if the prior Purim was on a Friday, like this year. He also says that it was a Yovel year, it was the year after Shemitah. He also says that it was a leap year. The year that we're in now is a leap year, not a Yovel year, but it's a leap year, it's an Erev Pesach Shecholiyas B'Shabbos. And based on what the Chasam Sofer tells us, and the Imrei Noyam, as mentioned in the previous weeks, and it's kedai to review it and say it over again, that Mashiach comes in a year when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. Perhaps that's why the Nes of Purim occurs in a year when Erev Pesach fell out on Shabbos. They were zoicha that year to be as HaMashiach, spiritually. They were zoicha to Binyan Beis HaMikdash, spiritually, at least Beruchnias. They brought the Beis HaMikdash with them into Persia, Vesamti Kisi Be'elam. There was Zeichet to Eliyahu HaNavi. The Chasam Sofer explains why is it a year Mesugal for Bias HaMashiach when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos? And the Chasam Sofer says this, and the Imre Noyam, who didn't see each other, they both say the exact same thing. And we know that on Motzoi Shabbos, the minhag is to sing Malav HaMalka by Malav HaMalka songs about Eliyahu HaNavi. So the Tur says this. This is not just some individual. The Tur quotes from the Sefer HaManhig, that the reason we mention Eliyahu HaNavi Motzoi Shabbos, because that's the most appropriate time for Eliyahu HaNavi to come, is Motzoi Shabbos. Because he says that since Eliyahu doesn't come Erev Shabbos, because everyone is busy preparing for Shabbos, and of course on Shabbos there's the shaila of whether he can come because it's Michutz L'Tchum, as the Paiskim explain. So what's the first opportune time for Eliyahu HaNavi to come with Mashiach is Motzoi Shabbos. The Chasam Sofer actually says, if Eliyahu HaNavi can't come Erev Shabbos, and the Geula is supposed to be the first day of Pesach, that's a day that's miyuchad for Geula, then how could he come? How could it be if Eliyahu can't come the day before, and he's supposed to come the day before, as we're going to say in the Haftorah, Hinei Anoichi Shaleach Lechem Yisrael Eliyahu HaNavi Lefnei Bo Yoyim Hashem HaGodol V'Hanoira. So it could only be, he says, when Erev Pesach is Shabbos, he's, Eliyahu HaNavi can come on Shabbos. He can't come Erev Shabbos, but on Shabbos he can come. Either the Shaila of Tchum, Tishbi Yataritz Kushis V'Ibayis. He says, Eliyahu HaNavi will answer the question. Where do we see Eliyahu HaNavi in the Megillah? When Charvoina is the one who says, Hinei Ha'etz Asha Asa Haman L'Mardachai. All of a sudden, this Charvoina enters the room and he says, oh, yeah, the king should know that the wood that Haman prepared to hang Mordechai on is still in his house. And the king says, hang him on that wood, Teluhu Olav, on the 16th of Nisan. When Erev Pesach fell out on Shabbos, just like this year, as the Yaris Devash says, that's when Purim that year was. Says the Pasuk, Charvoina is with a hay. So the Mefarshim ask, at the beginning of the Megillah, we read about the seven Sorim, Karshana, Biksa, Avaksa, Zesach, and then it's Charvayna. There it's with an Aleph. And at the end, where it talks about Charvayna, reminding the king that there's the eights that Haman prepared for Mordechai, just Charvayna with a hay. So the Svarim say, because it's a different Charvayna. That wasn't the Charvayna, that was Eliyahu HaNavi. The hay is one of the letters of Hashem's name, and an Aramaic name ends with an Aleph, a Hebrew name ends with a hay. So he says, Charvayna with an Aleph is the real Charvayna, the Goy. Charvayna with the hay was Eliyahu HaNavi in the image of Charvayna. What's Eliyahu HaNavi doing there? It was because it's an Erev Pesach Shecholiyos B'Shabbos. So Esther, Mordechai and Esther were Mamshech, they brought Eliyahu HaNavi down to this world, they brought Mashiach to this world, they brought the Geula to the world, they brought the Beis HaMikdash to the world. Esther enters into Achashverosh just like the Kohen Gadol enters on Yom Kippur, Lefnai V'Lefnim. Except the Kohen Gadol enters Lefnai V'Lefnim because he's commanded to do so, and only he can do so, and anyone else who does so is Chayiv Misa. Esther, who was not the Kohen Gadol, not even a man, and what she was doing was an Aveira, as she says, Ashalei Chados, it's against my religion to do this, V'chashur Avadati Avadati, but her entering into Achashverosh's inner palace, the Chatzar Beis HaMelech HaPenimis, has the same, it's the same level and even higher as the Kohen Gadol who's Nichnas Lefnai V'Lefnim. And it's interesting that this year, when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, we're going to be reading Parshas Acharei Mois, where we learn about the Kohen Gadol who's Nichnas Lefnai V'Lefnim. That's the introduction to this year's Pesach. And that's exactly when Esther was preparing to go into Achashverosh's inner chambers to prepare the Nes of Purim for Klal Yisrael. And in the Emunah that everyone had, the Tzipisa LeYeshua, which turned around the chait of the Mishnah of Achashverosh, where they had no Emunah, which is what Amalek and Achashverosh together, Achashverosh, whose Begematria Asher Karcha, Achashverosh is Asher Karcha, that everything is just a coincidence and there's nothing, there's no divine providence and there's no faith and there's nothing to believe in and there's no future. That's what brought about the Geula, the turnaround of the Emunah, and which led them to the Shar HaNun of Kedusha. Vayihi Oimein Es Hadas Es Begematria Nun Sharei Bina. Tofresh Tzadik Zayin, 697. The last simon in Shulchan Aruch, and Hilchos Purim is Tofresh Tzadik Zayin, which is Nun Sharei Bina. That's the level that we reach on Purim. V'nahapoichu. He wanted to bring us to the Nun of Shar HaNun of Tuma. We were zeichet to the Shar HaNun of Kedusha. And that was the day when they brought the Oimer. V'haveisem es Oimer, the Pasuk says. V'haveisem es Oimer is Begematri V'nahapoichu Asher Yishlutu HaYehudim Heima. We find ourselves now exactly like then, in a time when there's tremendous Hester upon them, greater even than in the time of Purim. Then they had a Mordechai, they had an Esther, they had Nevi'im. It was a Hester upon them, but they had such great people. Today we have none of that. So the Hester upon them is a lot greater. The Onoichi Hester Aster upon I Bayoim Hahu refers to this man of Ikvus of the Mashiach at the time we're in now, and especially after what we just experienced a few days ago. Yet, Hayomim Ha'elim Iskarim V'Na'asim. It says if you read the Megillah backwards, you're not Yotzeh. And as a person shouldn't think that the story of Purim is something that happened in the past. It's now. What they did then is what we have to do now. And intensify our Emunah and Betochen and know that there is going to be a third Beis HaMikdash. And we are going to bring Karbanos. And there is going to be a Yeshua. And every Jew has to intensify, of course, his Tzipisa LeYeshua and his Emunah and Betachin in the Geula, which will come in Yetzir Hashem very, very soon. And this is a very special year. We really shouldn't, Chas V'Shalom, allow this year to pass with nothing happening. We don't know what's going to happen. No one knows what's going to happen. But this is certainly a very, very great year, Topshin Samaches. And it's exactly, according to the Yaris Tavash, the way it was then, the year that the first Nes of Purim occurred. May we be Zeicher that all that is discussed in these parashiyos, we should see with our own eyes and be able to be ma'ak. V'sham nakriv lefanecha k'mitzvas ritzoyenecha. All the karbonos, vayikra also means to daven. Vayikra b'shem Hashem. Today, tefillah is b'mokoyim karbonos. Purim, it says, is the greatest day of kabbalas tefillahs. It says that a person can ask for anything he wants on Purim. The thing is, we think it's just a silly day. Because it's so high, it seems like it's a day of craziness. But as it says, "Kol apoyshet yad noisnim loy." Even if a goy comes and asks you for charity on Purim, you're supposed to give him. You don't ask any questions. Everyone you're supposed to give to, and Hashem gives to everyone on Purim. And no matter what we ask for on Purim, we're answered. it's even greater than Yom Kippur. May we be zeicha to the our tefillah is being answered, and we should be zeicha to see Yeshuas and the Chamas, and all those who need to be comforted should be comforted in Avelei Tzion v'Yerushalayim. We should only hear good news from now on, and of course, B'sayris HaGeula, which should be immediately.
Amen. Can we additionally dedicate this year for Refuah Shleima from Bas Sheva?
And of course, we're dedicating this year also as a Refuah Shleima for Fruma Bas Sheva. That she have a speedily recovery.
Amen.
Speedily recovery.
Amen.